One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Audio Frontier.
Welcome to the bonus episode of Wrestling Daft. I'm your host, John, producer of Wrestling Daft and host of The Mark Show. Now, I feel I should put maybe a bit of a cinema voiceover for this bit, but here goes. Every story has a beginning. Every saga has a start. And this is the start of one man's journey towards wrestling greatness. This is chapter one of It Yourself, The Grado Story. So here we are with the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Graham Steveley, more affectionately known to you and me as the one and only Grado. How you doing, mate?
It's good to see you, John. I'm excited to talk to the people, the Wrestling Daft patrons.
It's weird doing this without Rab, by the way.
It is, isn't it? I know. I'm a wee bit nervous, but I'm ready to talk about my life. You're either Piers Morgan, Rob Feinstein, or who could you be?
Oh, nah, let's go for a good old JR. Let's go for a good old JR.
Right, okay.
I'll just slur my words a wee bit and, make inappropriate comments and we'll get there. Now.
Very inappropriate, okay.
So, Grado, this is basically chapter one of your wrestling story. You know that shitey bit in the book that you always skip? You know,
my dad was a locksmith. My mum was a locksmith. She was stern but fair. Nobody wants to know that shite.
I know. So hopefully, not many people hit the skip button on this.
No. I'm going to try and make it as entertaining as possible, and I'll tell you the truth because truth is always usually the funniest if you tell the truth, isn't it?
Absolutely. So this is going to be from starting your career up to that first moment getting into ICW, because I think that's when it really just blew up. So we'll get all this in chapter one. We're going to get all this out of the way, but people want to know about, you know, how you got started it. Because let's talk, first of all, what's your first wrestling memory?
Well, John, I was a latecomer to wrestling in terms of, I was in primary seven, and I can remember ripping people that liked wrestling. I remember just going, what a lot of rubbish. But I think it was because of the fact that I never had Sky.
Or at least
I never had Sky Sports. And I used to rip my pals for it, but then My earliest memory is probably seeing The Rock and going, oh my God, this guy is cool. And you know what? I wasn't as interested in the actual action, the physical side of it. I was more interested in the fireworks, theme music, the storylines. When I was in primary seven, it was the Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Vince McMahon, that kind of. It was my first ever pay-per-view. I remember going, did MD tape it? Was Armageddon 99. My first pay-per-view that I watched was Royal Rumble on Channel 4. And when I taped that, I must have watched that about 100 times. There's a promo with The Rock, and he talks, and I love it. He's backstage. He's got his Brahma Bull football jersey on, and he goes, I'm going to make you a big tall glass of shut up juice, right? And I remember trying to copy that and just loving The Rock. I just became obsessed with it. And I swear to God, I get like that with things.
You get obsessed when you're not.
I get obsessed with it. It's so weird. Like, if I get a vape, right, I need to know, how is it made? How did it get, you know, where did it come from? What can I get as staff, right? And I become so obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And that's what I done with wrestling. I got so obsessed with it.
I'm of a vintage where I can remember going to like say Global Video and renting out all the kind of WrestleManias and SummerSlams and all that sort of stuff. Was that kind of on the go at that point?
I was always in Global Video. And as I said, I've told this probably in the podcast before, but my Uncle Jimmy had an account. And so I'd use my Uncle Jimmy's account. So it was always that, you know, going up to the desk with an 18 ECW pay-per-view. And they're going, what's your name? Jimmy. Do you know what I mean? But I can always remember, I can remember even his fucking passcode. Was it 5305? I remember that. Yeah. His other password was one. And I used to get my grand to go in and get me the wrestling videos. And I remember always, it was ECW Anarchy Rules 99. There was the WCW event with the three cages. And I would rent that out all the time. But, you know, when I really become obsessed with it, was seeing Beyond the Mat. When I saw Beyond the Mat, I was like, oh my, this is great. So you just get to see all the backstage side of stuff. Aye. I loved it. And there was also, because I watched it so much, there was a teletext phone number. Do you remember
I
that?
I remember that. Aye.
I can remember, what was it? How did it go? Welcome to WrestleZone, the service that brings you all of the wrestling news. No, it was like £3 a minute, and I would go to my grand's, right? And I would listen. I remember when it was the, because I always never used to get it, right? I never got that it was taped on a Monday, and we saw it on a Friday, which, by the way, can I just say, one thing that's a lot of young folk are probably missing just now, but I remember being young and maybe going to swimming on a Friday night, coming back and watching Father Ted, South Park, and Raw.
Yeah.
I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it, how good it was. Just as soon as Raw started, there was nothing better than watching Raw on a Friday night. And it was
let's admit it, Grado, you flicked over to Eurotrash to see if you could see a few tips as well.
A 10-minute preview, late beer.
Late beer.
Sex etra, mate.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If the Mean Street Posse were wrestling, I was nipping out to fucking, do you know what I mean? Bravo.
So was it just WWE? Were you pretty much across WWE when you got that taste for it in primary seven? Were you across like WWE, ECW, WCW? You just went hell for leather on it.
Aye, because it was not. I had a pal in class called Hammy, and he was telling me, you need to see this ECW, and you need to see Rob Van Dam. And I saw WWE, but then when I saw the ECW stuff, and they're hitting each other with chairs, and I've got the real music, because I'm obsessed with wrestling music. There's a thing on Spotify called the WWE playlist, right? And it's got like all the uncovered. I mean, it's so daft. It's like I'll listen to like Al Snow version 3 in the music, and I like to see the difference in it. I'm obsessed with theme music. I just love it. I love going on theme song websites. I'm such a gimp for it. And I think that's what I loved about ECW, was the Rob Van Dam, right? That's how I got into metal music as well. It was just listening to ECW.
Yeah.
Sandman stuff, like when he...
Sandman obviously was the one, isn't it?
I loved it, and I loved going back to my class when I was going to first year, and then I knew all about. But the problem was, when I went into first year, everybody started concentrating on winching lassies, getting fucking, do you know what I mean?
It's not a good look when you're into wrestling.
Nah, that's just, as soon as I got to first year, I was the only wrestling fan. That's the way it became, and I was so obsessed. I remember talking about to the teletext, remember the mega, first big mega storyline, I remember was who ran out of Stone Cold.
Aye.
And I remember my mate got internet installed, and I was going, it'll probably tell you on internet who's ran over Steve Austin. Check WWE.com. It'll probably tell you on there, right? I mean, this was like in the midst of it, but I thought in my head that they would probably give you a spoiler. That's what I thought the internet was. But I remember, I mean, I got absolutely horsed off my grand, because I would go to my grand's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's why I never broke my VL till I was about 21-year-old. I was at my grand's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all the way up till I was about 18, 19-year-old. But I remember when the Steve Austin deal came about, and who ran out Stone Cold, I remember the Raw where they announced who done it. It was the very end segment, and I must have listened to this guy on the teletext hotline go through every match all the way. I think I was on the phone for about an hour. Shit. To hear fucking Rikishi done it. What?
Oh, it was a bit of a shiter, wasn't it?
But again, also as well, I loved playing wrestling at the back door with my pals.
So were you doing that in first year? Was that primary seven you started kind of doing that? And then
first year, me and my pals, there were some of the, because it was all folk, that's how I became pals with folk in different years and stuff like that, because they were all wrestling fans and we'd get together. Yeah. And we used to film it out the back door. We'd get a mattress suit. We all had our own different characters and stuff like that.
What was yours?
Badass Mike Austin. I was Steve Austin's brother.
And what was your finisher?
I think my finisher was a stunner. Just a stunner.
I just stunner.
But I mean, I would take it so serious. I wanted the blade and stuff like that. I remember going to my grand's and smashing a glass bottle at the back door and trying to blade myself. I mean, what I did, I've told a story before about being
at my grand's. Were you aware of the penicillin and all that before?
Oh, I know all about that, man. I read all that shit. I was taking aspirin and stuff like that so it would thin the blood. I day was when I was in my room, I was so obsessed with it. Like I need to wrestle. I need a costume. So I'd like fucking get my gran's black tights. Fucking stick her black tights on, man, right? Put stars on them and stuff like that. She had a wee tartan waistcoat and I thought, that's just like Steve Austin's. It was a tartan and I was like, that would suit badass Mike Austin. And I always remember being in my gran's room because I always used to hide, I would hide it for her. And I remember one time I was playing with the pillars and I had her tights on, tartan jacket, and I went coast to coast with this fucking glass bottle of ginger. Blood's pissing down me and shit myself because my Uncle Jimmy opened the door. And saw me standing there, right?
And you imagine my
Uncle Jimmy wearing these moist tights, a tartan waistcoat, and blood pissing all down my face. He was like, what the fuck is going on in here? You know what I mean? I loved it. I loved everything about it. What you got to say?
So this was kind of first year, and I'm just getting the timer here. So when was it then that you're into this, your pals are into it, you're doing the backyard stuff and getting into involved it. What age was it when you finally sort of go, do you know what? I'm going to go out and see if I can actually do this.
Aye. So I was 14 and I listened to Alex Shane's talk wrestling on a Saturday night. Mm. I mean, again, I used to phone that every weekend and ask questions. I used to go, is Scott Steiner on steroids? Oh, we can't answer that, Graham. We can't touch that subject. You know what I mean? That's the kind of things I'd ask. I'd go on and do impressions and stuff like that. But what really probably kicked it really off was FWA. Frontier Wrestling Alliance. They were the big British company at the time, and they ran a show called Uprising, right? Which, or was it Revival? It was like one of the two, and it was in Bethnal Green in London. And I had tickets for Rebellion, WWF Rebellion. And can I just say, by the way, I remember the first time I seen a WWF match was at Rebellion Manchester. Me and my mum went there, Manchester, and it was just seeing that.
Would you egg some on that card and stuff?
No, it was Edge versus Christian. I think they were in a cage match. There was The Rock versus Stone Cold.
Wow.
I just loved it. And I always remember as well, just like Paul Heyman coming out to the ECW music and all that. And I was just like, this is the best ever. Anyway, so that was in 2001. But in 2002, I got right into buying the tapes for CZW. I was obsessed with Combat Zone Wrestling. If they had a show on a Saturday, I had that tape by the Thursday.
Wow.
I was just obsessed with CZW, and I always used to think they were big stars. It's funny now when I see them and they're just like they're painting on decorators and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? But in my mind, these were heroes. Anyway, so FWA were running a show in Bethnal Green, and it was on a Sunday, and the Saturday night it was a big preview for it. Right, Balls Mahoney was going to be there. Right, AJ Styles was going to be there. Alex Shane, I was obsessed with Alex Shane as a boy, right? Big British wrestling guy who gets a lot of pelters, but actually he's done so much and he's fucking made the money. He's made a good bit of coin out of wrestling. Anyway, I was just obsessed with how good he was on the radio. And I remember saying to my dad's a taxi driver, right? And my dad loves driving, right? He's a taxi driver that loves driving, just loves going long drives. And I says, Dad, look, there's this big show. I was in my grand's house and I phoned my dad. I says, look, Dad, there's this big show in Bethnal Green, London. I really, really want to go. I go, and he's like, I mean, who is it? I've never heard of FW. What, is it on Sky? And I'm like, no. And he's like, what the fuck are we? Like, okay. He says, we'll go. He says, but you can't go to the two. You can't go to Rebellion. You need to pick. And I picked. I need to go to this British wrestling show. And so in the Sunday morning, we set off at 9 o'clock. And we got to Birmingham about two or three. And it was gridlock, sheer gridlock. Could not get moving. And this is before the times of like internet and the phone and stuff like that. It was a matter of using a map. But my dad didn't need a map. He knew how to get to London, right? So we got into London City Centre, I'd say about 6 or 7 o'clock. And we did not have a fucking clue where we were. And it was horrible. Just that feeling that the show's on right now. Oh, I might make the last match. I might meet the wrestlers coming out. Mate, it was about 10 o'clock and we had to just give up and had to drive back up the road.
Oh,
I was devastated, man. I've lost my Rebellion tickets and I never got to see this British wrestling show. So I was devastated, man. Just a drive away. I think we stopped off at a travel lodge or whatever. But so I was on the UKFF at the time and I told this story. I wrote it about how we couldn't find where the show was. So they started calling me the Lost Scott. And that was my name on the UKFF, the Lost Scott. I changed it for like Grado WCW, not Grado. In fact, was it Grado? Graham WCW. I changed it to the Lost Scott. There was guys making music videos, Sugar Babes, round, round, baby. That's because I couldn't find the place. But then somebody said, you should tell this story on the radio show on a Saturday night. And I went, that's a great idea. So I got all my pals round and I phoned TalkSport, and they actually knew that I was going to phone. They're like, "Oh, you read it on the internet that you didn't get to the show."
Oh, wow, really?
Aye, so I gets on the radio show, and we've got Grime here from Stevenson, and apparently you've got a very sad story. And I was like, aye. Me and my dad, we drove, we couldn't find it. And I've got Simon, what's Simon's name? What's the TNA? Simon Lowe's boy. Right? I said, that's actually his gimmick name. And he's going, "Oh, you should have got the train and all this." I'm going, I know. And Alex Shane went, "Well," he says, I'm going to phone your dad tomorrow. And I want you to come to the next FWA show in 3 weeks' time. Jerry Lynn's going to be there. There's going to be all your favourite FW guys. I'm going to get you free tickets. We'll take you out for dinner after the show with all the wrestlers, and you'll have a fun time." I mean, this was just like the best thing ever, right? I was like, "Oh my God, Alex Shane's going to phone me." So the next day, Alex Shane phoned me and stuff like that, and I was like, this was just blowing my mind that Alex Shane phoned my house. And can I speak to your dad then? I'm like, my dad speaks to Alex Shane. "No chance. No fucking chance. No way. I didn't get to that either, right? So I was devastated, but the fact that he had went out his way to say that he would get me tickets, I adored him, right? And I think a couple of weeks later, so this must have been, October, November, and I phoned up 1 week and asked, "Is there any wrestling schools in Scotland?" And he says, "Well, funnily enough, there's an SCW, Scottish Championship Wrestling Show, it's coming to Linwood on the 6th of February. I think it would have been 2003? No, because I did my first bump in 2002. I may get mixed up with the 2002s and 2003s. Yeah, yeah. But it would have been 2002. Sorry, I'm missing this. It would have been 2002 because I went to Rebellion in 2001 and then 2002. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But anyway, where was I? The wrestling school.
Wrestling school.
He says, "Well, no, there's no wrestling school starting, but there's SCW." So then I typed into Google Scottish Championship Wrestling. And I emailed the guy and I says, "Look, I'm 14 years old. I'd love to get started in wrestling." I goes, I'll do anything. Like, is there anything I can do at the show? Whatever. And I got an email back for Kenny Morrison, who's SCW promoter. And he says, "Look, even at 14 year old, that's too young to be lifting stuff in the ring and stuff like that." He says, "But we'll give you, you can get free tickets and you can maybe do a wee report on the show." So yeah. I was like, "This is great." So SCW comes along. This is my first proper indie show. And I mean, it was like there was about 40 people there. The first match, there was a triple threat match. And the guy was currently wearing fucking Wallabies in the ring with white socks. See, like, fucking £2 for a pound socks, right? I was like, "What is this?" Right? But the action was quite good. But I was going, "Fuck me." And I can remember my mum as well. My mum and dad were there. And my mum was like, "I can fucking smell off these wrestlers. They're stinking." And they were, right? There was always been a hygiene problem in British wrestling, but that night it was fucking stinking. Anyway, I went back after the show. I went backstage and I met Iceman, who was a big hardcore wrestler, and I had seen him on Trisha. He was on Trisha.
Yeah.
Thing about his wife didn't like that he'd done wrestling and stuff like that. Yeah. So I was obsessed. I was like, "I know you, Iceman." And he even popped it that I remembered him as well. So I met all the wrestlers and I got their AOLs. Can I get an interview with you? And after that, I felt as if I was, I'm onto something here. I'm kind of getting pally with these folk. Mm-hmm. And I done the report. The report was scandalous, man. I'd love to see it back. I never knew any of the moves. I just slagged every cunt. You know what I mean?
Was Drew wrestling in that show?
So that was Drew's first ever match. First ever match. The funniest story about that was, I said it was fucking, I could hear them all talking. I could hear them calling their spots. And I think about an hour after the report went live, I got a message for Andrew Galloway, and it said, "Did you hear me talking? Wink, wink." And I was like, "Oh, you're the guy that wrestled Conscience." And he's like, "Yep, it was my first match." I mean, that's blown my mind thinking about it now.
That's amazing, isn't it?
"Did you hear me calling spots?" I was like, no, you were great. So SCW were like the first kind of...
That was your first taste of the kind of Scottish scene then, wasn't it?
That was the first taste of the Scottish scene, and I was getting all their emails and MSNs and stuff like that. I came across this tape trailer called Andy Wason, who got absolutely slaughtered online for like no sending tapes to people, right? He was like on the blacklist, right? Please avoid this guy. But I got talking to him on MSN, who turned out to be Red Lightning.
Yeah.
And there was SCW, but then there was BCW, right? There was a falling out between the two promoters, right?
Yeah, and they kind of split the promotions then.
Aye, that's right. But I was fucking, I wanted to be everybody's pal. So I was, you know, I mean, I would talk to both of them and I would turn up because SCW, I started getting really close with Kenny Morrison. Like if there was a show, I would hand out flyers in the street for him and stuff like that. There was, I think, so that was the first time when I went to Linwood, the second show I turned up and the ring announcer never turned up. So they were like, can you be the ring announcer? No, that blew my mind, right?
Wow.
14 years old, right? Oh my God, I'm stunning in the ring. It was fucking brilliant. I'd done that ring announcing for the show. But the funny thing about that was as well, right?
Because you're so shy, Grado, of course. You're so shy, you know.
No, mate. I was loving it. I'll do it. So I'd done ring announcing. But the funny thing about that was David Wilson, who's always been there for the start, he filmed the show on his camcorder, right? But what I didn't know was it was sitting right next to the desk that I was using to ring announce. So every match, I'm going, fuck me, this is the shits. Oh, my God. He's fucking blown up. Fuck me, he blew that. So they couldn't sell the tape of the show because I'd fucking buried every match that they had recorded.
Can you remember who was wrestling?
Eric the Fist Canyon, who played a big part in my training. Adam Shame, who's been there for the very start. But Shamer was brilliant, but Shamer was a big, big character in British wrestling. He's a big part of...
He's coach trip
stuff's absolutely excellent. But he is a legend in Scottish wrestling. There's not one person has a bad word to say about Adam Shame. Coach Trip, he's the fucking nicest guy you'll ever meet, and he really, really is a close pal. So SCW started day in training. I'm getting mixed up because I remember going to BCW for a couple of weeks.
Did you went to BCW and NS?
I was going back and forth. I was going back and forth, and I was getting heat for it, right? But I wasn't giving a fuck. Because I love BCW because it was mere, I don't know, it was like folk my age. I mean, Dallas was training at the time. Red Lightning was training at the time. Who else was there? But the weird thing...
Kid Fight.
Ross Watson was the first guy. I mean, one time I went to their training and it was like, he saw me and he went, all right, Fatty Boom Boom. So he had called me Boom Boom for years. That was my nickname that he gave me.
So you've went to you've been doing the report and you've been doing the kind of, you called up to be the ring announcers. When did you then go, right, I'm going to go and actually start training and we start taking the bumps and all that sort of stuff? And when can you remember taking your first bump?
I mean, the first bump I remember was, funnily enough, the Wednesday night TNA had their first ever show.
Oh, TNA, we all had to get that.
And I just became obsessed with TNA. I love that. But I always remember it was a Sunday after the first TNA show. So that, I think that was June the 20th or something, 20 odd. I'm getting mixed up with my dates, so it's hard to remember. Fucking too many concussions. But I remember taking my first bump. It was Drew Galloway that showed me how he did my first bump. And I remember the trainer at the time, he had an ECW replica belt, and I loved it. I loved seeing this replica belt.
Full shebang, not just the kiddie on ones, like the full...
No, it was a cracker, man. For its time, it was a cracker, and he had the WCW TV title as well, and it was just amazing. I always remember that. I always wanted this TV title, right? It was amazing. And I remember one of the ECW shows in later years, maybe about 2 or 3 years later, they had it up for a raffle, right? A £2 raffle. And these pure Jakes won it. You know what I mean? These Jakes won the WCW television title, and it always bothered me. I'm like, what are they going to do with that? Like, I fucking want that. There's two Jakes. Anyway, they won it in a fucking raffle. Sorry, I keep going back and forth.
It's fine.
But I always wanted to be a wrestler, right? In fact, I must lie. I just wanted to be anything. I just wanted to be a part of it, man. I just wanted
it's the to. It was the Panama bubble. You know, you're now doing Panto and stuff like that, but it is the... You know, you came in from the entertainment background as opposed to the I want to be a muscle guy, I want to be a body guy.
I want to wear kick pads and fucking do high spots and blah blah blah. That wasn't in my game. I wanted the entrance music and to be entertaining. That's what I wanted to be. Like, even all the way through school, I was always in the talent shows. I was in a boy band in the primary sound. You know, I mean, talent show and shit. It's always just been part of me. I used to fucking, when I was young, I used to fucking do, obviously, I used to do Gary Glitter impressions when I was young, right? That's what I used to do. I was obsessed with Gary Glitter when I was younger, which is fucking...
That's all sorts of wrong.
Aye, definitely. And I'm a bit weird with dates. But it was November the 10th or something, 1993, and it was so weird because my mum knew that I loved Gary Glitter and she took me to a concert. It was meant to be a big surprise. And I didn't know what it was, but we got there and it said Hall A singing Kettle, Hall B Gary Glitter.
That's also so wrong when you look at it.
And by the way, I've spoke to Sing Kettle since then. They remember that gig. They remember that very gig.
Really?
Aye, they split the halls.
Aye, you wouldn't want an audience mixer up at that one, that's for sure.
No, you would not, you would not. And so I remember my mum going, Gary Glitter's playing, like, we've got your tickets to Sing Kettle, son. I was like, fucking hell. But anyway, we got to the ticket bit and she pulled in the tickets and went, come on, come on, come on. So she fucking worked me, but it was the best work ever. Because it was such a good surprise. Anyway.
By your boss. So you went into the train. So you were floating between the two train schools then, between BCW and okay.
Which was pissing off a lot of people. When it ended up that I became a lot closer to the SWA boys. The SWA was where I kind of, because...
Who was an SWA then that you got close to then at that point?
So that'd be Adam Shame, Mickin, a wrestler called Mickin, a wrestler called William Grange, who does the commentating for ICW. And also Drew McDonald, the legend, a Scottish wrestler, right? Yeah. I remember emailing him when I was a wee boy as well, just at that time when I was kind of listening to talk wrestling and stuff like that. I was like, look, can you train me to be a wrestler? And he replied to me saying, if you can get five or six of your mates and you can book out a wee hall, I think for like a couple of £100, I'll come up and train you. And I always stuck with me. I was like, wow, that's amazing. But then my pals would chip in for it. Anyway, Drew McDonald came up to one of the shows as well. And I was obsessed with shoot interviews at this point. And so I'd done a shoot interview with Drew McDonald. It was like 4 hours long. Everybody was pissed off. And the wrestler that he was wrestling was getting pissed off because he wanted to go to his match and stuff like that. But Drew literally gave me his full life story. I mean, like, full life story, right? I mean, he's been everywhere, 70s, 80s, 90s, all over the world. Fucking, he's muckered up with Regal, Chris Jericho, yeah. all sorts of debauchery as well, by the way. The stuff that he was telling me probably would have been inappropriate for a 14-year-old boy. But I wasn't caring, right? It was so good. And there's a tape trader called Cy Mania, Simon Go Brave. I'm sure he's got that footage, and I would love to get it, man. It would be brilliant.
Yeah.
And he just helped me out a lot as well. He always just looked out for me and stuff like that when I was at shows. I wasn't even wrestling at this point, but he just kind of looked after me, make sure everything was good.
So you're at SWA then. You started taking bumps at this point. How long do you train then until you get the nod? Who was leading it?
What happens is Conscience is the head trainer, right?
Yeah.
And we are wrestling in Clydebank Leisure Centre every Saturday from 1 to 6, taking bumps on these, not a ring in sight. So you just the gym mats that you get, and we're taking fully fledged fucking ultra bumps on these brick solid mats. But I don't know how to say this, but like the training wasn't really that advanced.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't day training without a ring as it is, right? It was hard, you know what I mean? You can't learn stuff on mats, and you need to get that experience of running the ropes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I always made everybody laugh at training with my matches. I would always do wee daft things, right? And it popped the trainers, right? It popped Adam Shame, it popped Conscience. Conscience this time has just came back for a tryout with OVW. So like I was like, oh my God, he's the man kind of thing. And he was really over Conscience. Scotland. He really was a great character and really played a big part in my career. Because one day he said, I need a tag team and they're going to be called the Lowlanders. And he was like, And he looked a bit and he picked who was Mikey, who ended up being Glendon Barr. And he picked me. He was like, you're going to be Grant Dunbar, Grant and Glenn, the Lowlanders. So bear in mind, we've never been in the ring at this point, so we've to wrestle a 2-on-1. It's me and Glendon Barr, my big first match. I think it was Golden Harvest 2004. That was the name of the show. The promoter was a big fucking Japanese fan, so he had these mad... I mean, I think about it now, it was crazy the way they promoted wrestling, because if it was me at that time, you'd have the big American flags and all that, wrestlers coming to town and stuff like that. But they were just like A4 sheets of paper, wrestling, British wrestling, you know what I mean? And the old school cards.
It was really kind of cool, indie, kind of Japanese style.
Aye, and that's not going to get the public in. There was always, no. I mean, we drew about fucking 60 at this show in Green Oak Town Hall.
How many of your mates were there?
What?
How many of your mates?
No, my mate. I never wanted my mates to come and see me until later.
You were 16 at this point, weren't you?
No, I'm at this point in 2004. I'd have been 16. And I mean, even the day of the show, that was my first time like running the ropes and stuff like that. Because that, we only ever got because the ring only turned up on show days. All we did was train on mats. So we only got ring time when there was a show, and there wasn't a show every month. It was a show like every couple of months, like every 3 months. So I mean, my very first match, I remember with the Hufford gear, blue t-shirts, cut the sleeves off them, obviously. We got Lowlanders.
Rangers blue, obviously.
Scotland blue.
What was it, Scotland?
And for my first match, I wore fucking my mom's cycling shorts, and she wore the fucking aerobics or whatever, and this fucking this blue Lowlander printed t-shirt. And what was it? We wrestled Carol Harker was his name. And it was a 2-on-1, and it was fucking mental, man, for my first match. He was scudding us with steel chairs and stuff like that.
Fucking
hell. For my first match. It was fucking crazy.
But so, I mean, what can you remember, going back to just a wee bit, like, you were obviously popping the boys and stuff when you're there. Where did you pick up your kind of move set from? Was it just through watching, and you went, I'm going to try that?
Exactly,
like
that.
Dusty, watching Dusty. I mean, I wasn't watching
Dusty at that point. I thought I was going to be like a fucking high flying. I mean, I wore kick pads and stuff like that. Duck this, take one, bit, all this, carry on.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, it was fucking with me. I mean, it was whip them off the ropes, clothesline, suplexes, stuff like that. I was really advanced. I never got trained as such until I was on the road in 2012. That's when I can really say where I was, because I just shot up. And I was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll get to that, obviously, when I go to the Griddle part. But that's when you really, really learn, when you learn crowd work, the psychology, placing yourself in the ring and stuff like that. When you were wrestling on these shows, there was only 40 people in the crowd. It was hard to get... Yeah, I mean, I was shit. I was fucking rotten.
So, I mean, what sort of stuff were you doing in the ring when you were tapped?
I had this move called... I had a butterfly brainbuster.
That's so good. Like,
double arm, fucking hook them up. They go vertical, and I drop on my arse, which is so fucking dangerous. But indie cunts were up for taking it.
So this is your big debut. But
hold on a minute.
Sorry,
the first fucking the move that I've always ever had was the wee boot.
You always had that, have you?
Aye, it was again conscience was coming up with stuff, and we were going our big boots, and he went wee boot, and that was it, and it just came for the wee boot. I don't think I used it until maybe like my second or third match, but as soon as right away I wanted to G up, you know, I did the Shawn Michaels G straight through. It's because, in fact, it wasn't big boots rolling. I was obsessed with the Yakuza kick, that's what we called it.
Yeah.
Or the, what was it, the Yakuza, or the Mafia kick, they called it in US indie wrestling, right? That's the way I date run shot through, bang, slap the fucking thigh, thinking I'm the fucking big man. I've always had the wee boot.
But I always
remember, like, there was no reaction to like half the matches that were on, and I don't mean to say this, but
must be tough.
It was tough, but you know what? I was known to blow smoke up my ass. I was getting a reaction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we wore heels and all that, and I just loved getting out there and getting in folks' faces and getting the fingers and stuff like that. I always got a reaction, even though if I was fucking shite in the ring, I always got a reaction in what I'd done.
I mean, did you envisage yourself going in a single straight away, or was that hard to take going in as a tag team?
No, it was fucking, I'd have been like a fart in a trance, because right. See, the thing is as well, John, I was in a band as well as a teenager,
right?
So it got to the point where I wasn't showing up for training. I was doing my band thing and stuff like that, and like sometimes there'd be a show and in between the show and the next show, I had maybe went to training like once or twice. And so my tag team partner, Glenn, he'd done like all the moves. I'd come in and fucking sell and hit a couple of strikes and stuff like that. But it was fucking phony as fuck.
So was it strange going in as a tag rather than a singles? But yeah, do you always want to tag initially and then learn the kind of, you know, the ropes and...
Listen, I was just chancing my arm. I really was. I really was just chancing it. Like, as long as I was getting booked in the ring. And just to be honest with you, I hated it because I was so crap. Like, I you know what I mean? I loved doing the entrance and getting a book. See me once the bell ring. Jobby. You know what I mean? I loved cutting promos and stuff like that. But
I mean, how far on was Glenn? Well, calling Glenn.
He was great.
Right.
He was there every weekend. He was fucking really good to like kind of doing the kind of British style and stuff like that. And I remember one time fucking I'm in the ring and I'm doing my stuff and all that. It's going all right. then I'd tag in fucking Mikey. Mikey's his real name. And he would come in and fucking duck this, take that, fucking boost oily gaff. And like fucking I'd tag back in again. And if and I remember one time in command that my pals were actually, this is when I did let my pals come. And they were going, tag back to Glenn, tag back to Glenn. They fucking tag get out. Fucking 50-year-old. I was gutted. Do you know what I mean? I was gutted.
So I mean that's an SWA. Was Wolfgang an SWA at that point as well?
No, so what happened was it was fucking at the time it was such a good storyline, right? Because they worked everybody. Now BCW and SWA, they had like this online feud. It was pathetic, yeah. Right? But people knew about it. Like people, the fan, there was a core group of fans that would come every month, and they knew about that stuff. And SWA, we had better production, right? We had Con would invest in like these entrance ways, and he would do angles where he get buried in a coffin and stuff like that. And
well,
like,
Rab was involved at this point as well.
Rab met. This is about round about the time me and Rab met, and he was so shy. Rab, he was dead shy.
Yeah,
I got talking to him on MSN and stuff like that, and he was kind of writing stuff. He'd done his old Titantron videos, he edited stuff like that. But BCW were really nailing it in terms of their shows because they were booking Yanks, they were banking all the, they were booking like Johnny Storm and Jody Fleisch for down south. And I mean, I needed to go, man. Like, even though I was an SW wrestler, I wasn't missing Steve Carino coming to command at Grand Hall.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't missing the honky tonk, man. I was not missing that, even though the boys were told don't go. I went, mate. I went.
Aye.
I can always remember one time as well. Fucking Lionheart, God rest his soul. He was behind me at one of the shows with a fucking sign saying fucking somebody sucks or whatever. And he was wearing the Rock sunglasses and a fucking like Intercontinental replica belt. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy? but anyway, BCW had a really kind of they were well established in BCW. It was Barry Young, Wolfgang, and yeah. James Scott, Dartside, right? And they had this tag team called T2K. And they'd come out with a face paint and stuff like that, and they were fucking brilliant, right? They really were. I'd get blown away, and I'd go to their shows and go, wow, look what they're doing. But on one of the SWA shows, Con pulled us into a room and was like, now this time it's fucking engraved in our heads to hate BCW. We hate them online. We bury them and stuff like that. Lionheart, I don't think people will mind me saying it, but he ended up in the front pages of the Daily Record. He got stung a dillion. He got stung a dillion when he walked in the jail as a prison guard. And he got stitched up big time, right? The folk that worked in the prison against him. And he ended up in the Daily Record and stuff like that, right? Now, I would go on the internet and go, BCW's wrestler Lionheart he's in the front page. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get messages and fucking folk going, that's terrible and all the rest of it. But we done a show where Con pulls us in. You following this? Is this
I just wanted to wind it. Were you champions at this time? Because I'd like to get to that, getting to that first belt of that first moment you got your first real wrestling title.
I mean that was just the best feeling in the world. It was a tag team tournament. And we get told on the days. I think we were the first SW tag champs.
Yeah.
And then we had to wrestle. Who did we wrestle in the first round? I can't remember if it was like Flight and. Fuck, I can't remember. But anyway, we had to wrestle in the finals, Total Annihilation. Well, that was Adam, Shame and Hatred. And on that show as well was Fergal Devitt, Finn Balor. He was in the first match because he was Hammerlock NWA. And SW was kind of NWA thing. We had an NWA Scottish title at that point. Fuck, I don't think we did have that. I'd love to get that back. That'd be fucking brilliant. Aye, so there was so we were kind of endorsed by the NWA. We had Dan Severn that would come in for training sessions, seminars and stuff like that. But aye, so the first time I became champ, I got all my pals to come up. It was the Matt Busby Centre in Bells Hill. And well, what a feeling it was when the belts, and the belts are actually quality as well. They were only the wee snidey. A lot of companies would use like replica belts and fucking, get a felt tip pen and score it WWE and fucking put BCW on it. I think it's what's wrong. Put BCW on it. But when I won the tag titles, it was amazing. I remember having a MySpace and putting that as my profile picture, me with a belt and stuff like that. It was so, so cool.
Yeah, it must have been something. So, but going back then, so presumably you're tag team champions at the time of this kind of invasion angle with BCW and SWA, aren't you?
Which was brilliant because they worked us really, because we had no idea this was going to happen until about 5 minutes before the show, and it felt really carny. It felt like really kind of like fucking screwy and stuff like that. So I got a buzz off it. So we were in the middle of the match. Dartside and Wolfgang were to come in the ring and fuck us up and stuff like that and take the belts, right? and it was such a cool angle, which led to the next. So this is now about 2005. The next Scottish show was BCW show at Kilmarnock Grand Hall with D'Lo Brown and Mick Foley. Mick Foley was there in Kilmarnock, wow. Right? And I'll never forget, that was the first time where I really thought, wow, getting into a budget, because the story was we were getting the belts back. We were going to interrupt them.
Were BCW and SWA then working alongside each other?
Aye, by this point, they're working alongside each other. But just like storyline-wise, there was nothing fucking money or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because that here's another thing as well, right? So obviously SWA, I was like, that's where I really, really trained and where I met all my mates for wrestling and what I learned from Ace. But the other side of the twin, BCW, were again having these yanks and stuff like that, and it was like, I really want to be in that. I'd love to be in it. And I remember showing up, well, to turn up in the an invasion in their show. Now the place is sold out because Mick Foley's there. But yeah. she just gone backstage, right, for the first time, and seeing Mick Foley count all his money for his signing that he's done, and going up, hello, how you doing? Shaking his hand, speaking to D'Lo Brown and stuff like that. That I was like, whoa. This is a wrestling show. Do you know what I mean? It felt great. And so we get planted in the crowd, and it was which by the way, that was the same day as Eddie Guerrero died. So there was a 10-bell salute. Jeez. For Eddie Guerrero. So we interrupted their match, done a run in theirs, and the crowd went fucking bonkers. We got booed at the building. I'm wearing the jeans and the cut-off t-shirt. It's like, you know what I mean? I'm doing a run in. Do you know what I mean? I'm doing a run in. And it was superb. The heat and just, I remember coming home that night going, wow, that's me now being on the same card as Mick Foley, do you know what I mean? It was just a brilliant feeling, mate. It was just so good. But the thing about that as well was, when we would wrestle in SWA, you know, it's always said, it's always ingrained in you as well when you're young. You need to get paid no matter what, where you're on the card if you're young, so you need to get paid. But Nene said the boys to ask to get paid. Nene said the boys. We were just there fucking about, really. We would get a fiver after training, a wee token. If we marked right, a fiver after training, the next day of training session, no, fair enough, whatever. But I remember doing that invasion angle in BCW and going backstage and a promoter coming up and going, well, 15 day. And I'm like, aye, 15 all day. And I remember just being like, I've just been paid 15 quid for that. Fuck me, man, that was class. I've got £15. You know what I mean? This is before I'm working at McDonald's and stuff like that. I was like, I've got £15. But that just blew me away for then on. And also, which is weird about that show, Sha Samuels was on that show as well.
Oh, was he?
He was on that show. He was completely different. He had a shaved head. I can't remember the tag team he was in, but he was at that. And it wasn't until years later that we realised we were on the same show. Sha's obviously like my best mate in wrestling. We've been everywhere. Yeah. But it's mad to think that show he was there.
So was that the moment then that you really went, right, fuck it? You know, I mean, you know, you were working at McDonald's and then went on to work at the fire service and stuff. But was that the moment that you went, fuck, I want to do something with this. I really want to take this on.
But you know what? I never really, I would always dream about it, but then I was never ever committed, man, in terms of like going to training and stuff like that. I really fucking was like, I was turning up to shows and I was half trained and stuff like that. And it was, I'd done that for a good couple of years.
Because then you end up just drawing a line under it, didn't you?
Basically. Yeah. And you know, but like all the boys loved me. They really did in terms of, used to call me Chipmunk. Apparently, I looked like a chipmunk, so they would call me Chipmunk, and then it was CP Monk because fucking CM Punk was doing indies at that
time. Headfights calling you Boom Boom.
Boom Boom. I just go on with everybody. Do you know what I mean?
Of course you do, aye. Of course you do.
And it was just like, it was just early for a good 3 or 4 years. It was that come in and day something. I remember like my first single against Sabotage. Type in Sabotage, British wrestler. He's fucking, he looks like an Undertaker, right? He's only like 5'9", but he was built to fuck, and he had like the contact lenses, and he was cool, and he really took me under his wing as well.
So you did a couple of runs with the tag titles in SW, and then obviously the inevitable split came up and you went into singles, didn't you?
Aye, we went at singles, but I don't even know if we actually even wrestled each other singles. But I think I was still called. In fact, did we even? Do you know what? I can't even remember.
You were still wrestling on the Grand Bar.
Like, and it was like fucking for years. I mean, there's such a big chunk that I missed out on, like such a big chunk, because it really wasn't until, I mean, it came to the point where it's 2011, 2012, and. But do you know what? Everybody in Stevenson and Adrosson, they all knew that I was the wrestler, right? See, everybody in the town, they would go, there's a wee wrestler guy, there's a wrestler boy and stuff like that. And I'm like, aye, man, fucking, what is this? And I remember hearing there was a show in the Adrossan Civic Centre, and it was wrestling. And now that's just, I mean, that's just around the corner from where I'm sitting just now, right? So yeah, just a couple of blocks up, a couple of blocks. And I was like, I need to be on this show. I need to be on this show. Like, there cannot be a fucking wrestling show in this area without me. I need to be on it. I remember the promote, it was SWA, right?
So you and dropped out, but so you, let's rewind the clock.
Okay.
Dropped, so you were doing SWA, you went a singles run, a wee bit of singles run. What
wasn't it really? It was like two matches, man.
Yeah. So did you, was that, because that point you decided to, you sacked it, because you stood, how long away from wrestling were you when you left SWA?
Well, I was always in and out, but I was, I think my last, I had a match in Pitlochry in 2009.
Yeah.
And then I got asked in like 2010, 2011 to come back and do ring announcing and get involved, because they always knew I was a big character. They were always like, oh, get him in for this. Yeah. You know what I mean? They would always want to utilise me some way, but at this point, I was in Damien's first match. What's he called in WWE again? Damo?
Killian Dane.
And I was in his first match, and I remember taking him through his first match and all that. Fast forward a couple of years later, I'm going to his training sessions with him. He just picked it up like that. He was the man. So this is what I would do, right? This is God's honest truth, what I would do. I hated the group training sessions, right? I just fucking couldn't hear it. So I would get private lessons. I'd get private tuition lessons. And I'd maybe go like two or three times a month. That's all I'd done it, right? But it was just to kind of keep my, just to keep my neck in, just in case anything pops up.
And why did you step away from it? Why did you walk away from it? Was it just, you couldn't
just get was happening? Like, just
what, to go to drink with your pals at the weekend?
Then it got to that where it was kind of like that, and buds and stuff like that, and fucking working and all
happens to the best years, mate. It happens to the best.
Basically that's what it does. It's just become I wouldn't say I grew out of it, but I started going to FIPA and all that as well. Do you know what I mean? FIPA was on a Saturday, and I like going to FIPA with my pals and stuff like that. But that was me until 2011
and 12. And then this show, and
I needed to be on a show. Because everybody was asking me straight, oh, you'll be on that show? And I was like, fuck, I'm not on a show. So I messaged the promoter and I says, I need to be on a show. How, what can I do to be on the show? He said, if you sell me 20 tickets to this show, I'll book you. And I was like, nay bother. So I'm like, how do I get people to come to this show? So that's when I got my pal to film me in my room, and I cut a promo on Adam Shane. It was the first thing I ever done, and I really only meant it to be to people in like my area, right? It started to get shared everywhere. It was like me got calling Adam Shane a big daft and all that. You get your head kicked in, your tatty and all this kind of stuff, and like folk were like, this is brilliant, like fucking hell, because obviously they're used to seeing wrestling promos that saw Americans going this Saturday and all this kind of thing. I'm going, get yourself down to the Civic Centre Saturday to watch me knock out this trumpet and all this kind of, do you know what I mean, all this kind of daft patter. And it started to get shared around about, and so like the show ended up like more or less selling out. It was packed, man, it was packed. And I wrestled Adam Shane, and I mean, I think it's somewhere on YouTube, but it's hilarious, man, because we went to B&M during the day, and we're buying ironing boards and fucking things we can snap out each other's heads, and it was a street fight going to be and stuff like that. And we done this, and it was the main event, and don't get me wrong, I had a whaler. It was the first time where I went, this is amazing, because the crowd were just
Grado'd and barred by this point. Had you really? Now, because that's interesting, because I went, actually, I was watching the Adam Shane video back to you, because obviously...
What was I saying in it? What kind of things were I saying? I just love
the fact that you're getting just all these people to say Adam Shane, just walking about.
Right!
Grandin Bar, you're for it.
This is a message for Adam Shane. Grado said he's going to fucking knock the shit out of you, by the way.
Oh, what have I let myself in for, man? Oh, seriously, honestly, I'm bushed. Honestly, last night, I never slept a wink, right? My mum's fucked off on holiday. She's just lost her trust in me. She just doesn't want me to do this. My dad, sickened that I've challenged you to a match. My dad won't even look the road I'm on. Last night, I logged onto my computer, and I got a notification that you posted a video about me. And you threatened me, and you said you're going to date me in on Friday night. This is all too much for me. The whole wrestling universe hasn't got any trust in me. I'm pulling out. I can't date anymore. I'm not doing it. Sigh!
What I want to say about this, the first match that I came back, right, obviously, I called myself Grado on the back because all the troops started calling me Grado because I got this stupid tattoo. I've mentioned
that was when you talked about that because the name got. Aye. Where did you were never called Grado? Nobody ever called you Grado, no. And then they
in,
went
in primary seven. In primary seven, I was called it for a couple of weeks, right? Right. Grado, and I always and my
you
pals.
Cool
men used to be called Grado. Aye, men used to be called Grado for a fucking cup of coffee. So we go to Magaluf, we get Stephen. Story goes, I end up getting Grado, putting my arm in like people, you know, it's Grado, and I'm like, shit, there's nothing worse than having a name on your arm, never mind a name that nobody calls you. So it was a matter of phoning everybody the next day. Look, man, your name's Grado. My name's Grado. Call me Grado. Call me Grado. So I called myself Grado on the bar, and I came out to 99 problems. At the Civic Centre. But what I can remember about that match is John, Adam Shane scalped me with a steel chair through the match, and he done me hard way. I fucking burst blood everywhere and I shit myself. I was like, oh my God, I'm bleeding. And I'm always never forget Adam Shane turning around and just going, enjoy it, wee man. And I was like, you know what I mean? Fucking, I've got blood everywhere. I can see my mom in the crowd raging. This is terrible. It's too much. It's too much. After that, I thought, this is it.
That's it.
I'm putting everything into wrestling. I can't do this. So the next show, I do another video. Then the next year, I do another video. But at this time, John, ICW are on TV, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't really know MD5. Everybody, all the ICW folk, they were the kind of cool mob, and they had drifted away from them, right?
Yeah, because going back, you knew Dallas from way back in the day. Had you realised that Dallas had started his own promotion and stuff?
Aye, and I'll never forget Dallas because I'm fucking forgetting about it. Because, I mean, in 2002, we had a seminar with Jake the Snake Roberts at the post office in East Kilbride.
We didn't mention the post office.
I forgot
session,
to say that.
The infamous post office session. So you were there, Dallas was there. Kid Fight? No,
Kid Fight's there. Kid Fight's there. Red Light was there. He was there wearing these Ranger soaks. And I remember like standing in a line and Jake Roberts just going, the only person that's going to make it here is Drew. He's going to make it. And he was sitting, eating Mars bars and drinking whiskey and stuff like that. But fair play to him, man. He was great in terms of, I mean, I went up to him and I went, Jake, how do you punch? And he just went, punch me. And I was like, fuck me, man. Jake the Snake Roberts has punched me. Because obviously I'd missed out a lot of wrestling when I was young, but I went back and watched all that. I got everything. So to see Jake Roberts in a training session at the post office was fucking a memory that I'll never, ever forget.
So yeah, Dallas. So you knew Dallas from
back Dallas then, as well. He was at that Jake Snake Roberts thing as well.
He was there, and you've started hearing about ICW. Did you then get in touch with Dallas, or did
no?
He get
Dallas
to
got
you?
In touch with me.
Right.
But the funny thing is, I mentioned it before, but Dallas, the night of that Jake the Snake Roberts session, he said to me, he says, I am going to start running an ECW style show in Scotland. And we're going to have ECW guys, we're going to have New Jack, and it's going to be the fucking biggest thing. He said that to me in 2003. Yeah. Said that to me in 2003. And it was mental because at this point, he had the ICW shows and they were in Sound, was it Sound 23 or something like that? Apollo 23 or whatever?
Yeah, the one downstairs for the cinema.
Aye, but John, at this point, I had just started the Magredo stuff and all that. And I would wake up every morning going, I would love to be an ICW. I'd love it within a day to get an ICW. Will I take steroids? Will I go to this and blah, blah, blah? And I can always remember sitting in my bedroom. I got an email from Mark Dallas. Good to see you're back wrestling. We want to get you to do a couple of videos in ICW. We can't promise a match or anything like that, but we'll do a sort of storyline where you want to get booked in ICW.
Had he seen the Jackie? You'd obviously seen the
Jackie Polo promo.
It's a sale. How you doing, troops? It's Grado here. Listen, I need updates. Last week I got a wee phone call from one of my mates. He says, Grado, have you been on that Facebook yet? You been on the Facebook tonight? I says, nah, I'm never on the thing, really. He says, well, you better go on it tonight because there's this wrestler, Jackie Polo. He's uploaded a video to Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, full shebang, slagging you right off. I says, Jackie Polo, slagging me right off. I says, it can't be that bad, surely. He says, no, you need to see this to believe it. So there I was, me, my ma, my da, the dog, all crowded round the laptop to see what this Jackie Polo would say. And we watched it for 9 minutes long, bored us to tears. But right at the end, sure as fate, he slags me off. What does he call me? Well, Jackie Polo, you called me untalented, unathletic, you called me fat, and you called me ugly.
Well, it seems to me, it seems to my family, it seems to everybody all around the wrestling globe that you, Jackie Polo, are a lying bastard. And then I don't know if you're aware of this, that also, apart from the fact as well, Grado, me, the guy that you're looking at right now, well, his popularity has absolutely soared. It's went right through the roof. The last couple of weeks, I'm telling you, I can't even go into that bloody post office for a first-class stamp without getting mobbed for photos, for videos, for autographs, full shebang. And it's not just that, by the way. It's phone calls off celebrities I'm getting as well. The other night, 3 o'clock in the morning, tossing and turning, the phone goes off. It's Margarita Prakatan. Have you ever heard of Margarita Prakatan? Well, Margarita Prakatan's on the phone to me. She's gone, Grado, when your next video? When your next wrestle? Margarita Prakatan, when your next wrestle? I said, Margarita Prakatan, get to your bed, hen. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll struggle to fall back here now. You're on the bloody phone.
So Dallas messages me saying, we can't promise you anything, but will you come to a show and we'll film some vignettes and stuff like that? And this was like the best thing ever. I remember phoning my mum and all that, going, Mum, this company, because they had a TV deal on my TV.
That's right.
Throwing it like fucking 4 o'clock in the morning. They ended up getting canned because one of their shows ended up running till like 6 a.m. and barely cut
I was past the watershed.
So as soon as I signed, well, I never signed, but as soon as I got approached with Dallas, they get kicked off the telly. But I remember going to my first ICW show, John. Oh my God, it was.
Was that in Classic Grand, man?
And it was just everything I'd ever dreamed of in terms of. Because I remember, yeah. I think I maybe went to one show just before I made an appearance and being in the crowd and taking my pals, and they seen like Stevie Boy, David Blaze, the Bucky Boys, and it was just amazing, right? Packed, and I was like, fuck, man, this is so good.
It was incredible. I mean, I remember those early, that's when I started going to see ICW, was in the Classic Grand. It was just this.
Was it really?
It was like Glasgow Patter meets ECW, and it was just this beautiful combination.
Nailed it. That's exactly, like, kind of fucking Rab C. Nisbet, kind of Tune the Fat meets fucking ECW, Jerry Springer, fucking just complete, absolute fucking daftness, but it was fucking brilliant. It was amazing. The crowds were fucking minted.
So when you went to that first show, had the Book Grado campaign started then?
No, it hadn't started yet.
Right.
But the next show started, and I had always kept pals with Chris Renfrew, and he was like the booker in ICW. Which we'll talk about this one point, because we fucking had a mega fight at one point. So I picked up Chris Renfrew the day my first, and actually I had to, what was the deal? It was on a Sunday, and I remember I had a shift in the fire brigade and nobody would work it for me. Nobody working the fire brigade for me. I can say now, I've worked in the control room for 10, I worked in the fire brigade control room for 10 years, taking the 999 calls. I always had to fucking kayfabe that all the time, but it doesn't matter now. but actually, I phoned in sick because Dallas on a Saturday night, mate, went, mate, if you don't show up tomorrow, I don't think I can use you. You need to be there. So I had to, fuck, I felt terrible. I phoned in sick to ICW, and I'm, you know, that way I'm like, holy fuck, I hope no, none of the gaffers' sons or daughters are at this ICW and they see me or whatever, right? But anyway, so I spend the full day backstage doing promos, get Grado booked. Before I started it, because I had got a Grado leotard off Easy Money, remember Easy Money for ECW?
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
A Grado leotard at this point.
Was that your first Grado leotard? That was my first leotard. You still got it? I have still got it.
But I needed something. I remember being the Classic Grand going, I need something else. What can I add to my gear? And I was like, oh, I love wearing bum bags. Like, I'll get a bum bag. And then there was a hip-hop shop just around the corner for the Classic Grand. And they were doing like customised snapbacks. So I got a Grado snapback and a bum bag. And that's what I've used ever since for that day.
That's incredible. That is incredible. I mean, because I was going to ask you, you know, how did the gimmick come about? But that is it. It's just basically what was there at the time.
That was all I used.
The Grado gimmick is just, you know,
I'm a big, you. I'm myself, it's a big
you.
Punter.
Just you. Aye. Just you. I mean, that's what I love about you, Grado. It's just that is just you. And you put a bum bag on the cap and that you've got just you.
That was it. And so we did this thing backstage at ICW where I try and get booked. I asked Alice to get booked. They end up making a short week in a mini documentary, which is a bit annoying because the first time you type into Grado Wrestling into YouTube, it's this video, which I don't really like, but it's me kind of doing a parody of the Dennis Stamp You know, yeah. I don't do many tricks. I just jump and all of this. I'd rather be in the main event and breathe and stuff like that.
And remember the training video? Have you sent that training video to Dallas? Have you done that for me? I don't do any tricks. I just jump.
No, because, well, it was just you and a f***ing trampoline, man. What sort of training video was that? Mate, you're it. Let's just beat him. No beat around the bush, man. You can't be on the show. You're not ever going to be booked. Let's be. You've wrestled your last match.
So they kind of filmed that, and this is because I just filmed stuff backstage. I was never exposed to the crowd. In fact, no, I went doing a line with a sign, maybe saying get Grado booked or whatever.
Aye.
And so they put up that video and it was getting fucking shares and all this. And then I went to Las Vegas on a holiday and I was getting everybody in America to say get Grado booked. I'm walking down Las Vegas in my leotard and stuff like this. So that the videos really took off, and it was like, then there was another show, and like the start of the show, the crowd just started chanting, Grado, we want Grado, we want Grado. This is before I've even debuted.
And I think, you know, it's incredible because, you know, that whole side of things is now such a big thing, you know, using YouTube, using social media. You were one of the first to kind of utilise that. Into ICW for them as well, you know.
I mean, apparently there's a video out there of Kenny Omega taking a training seminar, and he's like, look, if you ever want to get ideas for how you should promote yourself on social media and wrestling, look up a guy called Grado.
Really?
And apparently as well, there's like people were telling me that like at the performance, it wasn't the performance center then, maybe it was, but they were showing videos of like me doing my promos and how I done myself, and they were like, watch what he does. Wow. So I know they were kind of watching, because, and at this point as well, for fuck's sake, Vice start following me.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because obviously this is all going on in the background in ICW, and you and Mark have, you know, got this idea, you, Renfrew, and Mark got this idea. But in the midst of us all, Vice are filming a documentary for ICW. So how did then Mark then go, because he's obviously, they've come to film ICW for this documentary. How did Mark then go, well, this makes sense to put the cameras on Grado, and it'll all work that way?
I think the British wrestler stuff, Dallas wanted me to get filmed because it was just, I was probably getting a lot of likes, shares, these videos were getting hits and stuff like that, and people were talking about it online, and they were like, follow me. And a lot of the guys as well, they didn't want filmed, because they thought we're going to be look like they're going to make a mockery out of us. But I went, fuck that. I'm getting in about this. And I mean, totally, they came to my house, they interviewed my mom. Like, I'm sitting at the end of my bed. Because at my 21st birthday party, there was a big picture of Triple H, and my head superimposed on it. Happy 21st.
Yeah.
That's on the background. I've got my signed pictures of Steve Carino and stuff like that. I was just so honest. I was like, look. And I remember being like, well, I'm shite and all that. I've been away from it for years, but ICW's about, and I want to get involved in it and stuff like that. So Vice were just always following my boot, and obviously the night that I debuted, fuck, that was just one of the... Because even as a wee boy, I always loved run-ins and stuff like that. I loved surprises and the energy when somebody comes in for the crowd. And it was during a six-man tag match, it was like a 3-on-2, and the commissioner had to book a third guy. I mean, the whole place is going, Grado, Grado, Grado. Yeah, yeah. I jumped the barriers.
Yeah, because you were in the crowd, yeah.
I'm in the crowd. I'm with the troops. I'm a fan of this.
Yeah.
Get Grado booked on us, and fucking what a feeling, man. Like, it was just like...
What a payoff. I mean, it was...
Because I really always wanted to be in ICW, and it was just such a fucking great
thing. Yeah, what a payoff. I mean, Mark, obviously... I mean, you and Mark and Renfrew obviously kind of hatched all that together, you know, you were doing the videos. Just an incredible payoff, and like it's a great story, and just a great storyline. And then, I will put a full stop at it at that point, I think, for chapter one, because I think so.
I mean, that's like, I feel as if I'm like jumping back and forth. I hope it's not annoyed people, but it's just fucking, it just was crazy.
It's a lot.
Like,
I mean, it's a lot to take in that. I mean, because that is you from the start to right up to that.
I mean, that is mega. Right? That's me fucking talking about when I'm away. I mean, fucking in my grand's bedroom, fucking blading myself and stuff like that. But I mean, in the next one, we can talk about the British wrestler and then doing Insane Fight Club and what happened, and then becoming like like transitioning from not just wrestling to doing stuff on the telly. Rab gained me an addition to be on TV.
I know. It's that first run was incredible. I mean, that first run on ICW was unbelievable, and obviously mm-hmm. led to your moving TNA and stuff. Got a couple of listener questions here before we leave it today. So Dean Watterson, one of our Patreons, said, how long was it from your first training session to your first match? So that from that first training session to your first match, how long was that?
So my first ever training session, it might have been muddled up, but I always remember it obviously was that Wednesday after the first TNA episode, right? So that was June 2002, it would have been, because I think June 19th was the first TNA show, and then a Sunday, whatever it was, June 24th, I can't remember. That was my first time taking a bump and stuff like that and being shown. And my first match was in April 2004. So it was just under 2 years.
Right, okay. Bronze Chell asks, he's a big fan, Bronze Chell always involved in the show and one of our Patreons. As a fan before becoming wrestler, you've talked about having replica belts. You got that as a present, which we all know was your favourite Christmas present ever, your replica belt.
Do people want to know this?
You've talked about that in the podcast before. What other merch do you recall having? Did you have any t-shirts, action figures, games? Any?
So, WWF The Music Volume 4.
Classic.
I loved having that. I've never had a wrestling figure. Never interested in figures.
Oh, well, there's one of our listeners is going to be making your very own Grado figure, which you're going to have very soon.
Oh, get in there, that's tidy. And I'm also getting wee dolls, wee keyring dolls getting made as well. So a wee cheap plug for that as well.
You'll be able to buy in Grado's merch stall very soon. GradoWrestling.com.
But what I would also say as well is it was the tapes, mate. I was so
you were a big tape trader, weren't you?
I was a mega tape trader. I mean, I didn't like because I remember buying tapes off tape traders. It was like £4 for £20.
It's mental. Where did you get them from?
A guy called Cymania. There was a place called Pick Tapes. He must have raked it in this boy. He was only about a couple of years older than me, but he was like selling like fucking thousands of videos every week. Basically had his old room set up to record videos and stuff like that. Yeah. I was getting videos from all over the world. I was getting the Japanese stuff. I was getting the US indie stuff. I was getting old British style. I was getting shoot interviews and any money that I got, I put it into that. But then when I realised as well, when you could trade, like, oh my God, so you can record a tape and then send it to folk and you will then get tapes back. Like, that blew my mind that I could get tapes. Do you know what I mean? It's weird because tape traders just want everything they've not got. Do you know what I mean? So I'd maybe have, like, fucking, CZW Best of the Best, and I'd swap with somebody for the Bret Hart shooting review and stuff like that. And it didn't matter. You know, I was getting the most fucking, most random stuff, was it like the Ted Petty Invitational that was in IW Mid South? Like, it'd be just really, really these fucking obscure wrestling shows. Like, I would, because, like, if what the heck, like, see if somebody had been released for the WWE,
yeah,
and they had maybe wrestled in like a fucking an indie show in Baltimore or whatever, I would need to see that. I wanted to see somebody that was in WWE go and see the gimmick. Will they use the same music? Will they have different gear? What will their name be?
Yeah.
Like, I had to have these tapes. That's
still got any of them.
Man, I hope they're still in this hut. Is it my back door or my dad's back door? I need to actually check. Because
you need to get them on a DVD, son. You need to go down where these dodgy shops in Glasgow that do a video with DVD.
I'd love to see them back,
pick out your favourites and get that done. Another one from the Tactical Hot Dog, Sean, on the Patreon. What's the carniest thing Grado has done, either himself or has witnessed when he was coming up? The carniest thing.
Carnies, fuck me, man. What do I think about that?
We'll not talk about your match at Stennis Muir, Oakle View. That was pretty carny. Was it you and Jester at Oakle View?
What was that one when we wrestled fucking and that was quite the
football pitch.
I mean, wrestling and was it Stennis Park? I remember Stennis that. Park, but I also remember wrestling in Postle Park once.
Is that when you were coming up?
And Cranston, is it Cranston? Is a place called Cranston Park?
Aye.
Right, in Glasgow. And like,
we
were told that there can't be any bad guys because there was a stabbing the week before. They were like, can you all just be goodies? Can you just be goodies? Because there's been a murder. And we're like, what? And me and Jester get in the ring and we get absolutely pelted because it was a park, the wee tiny apple trees, right? And we got absolutely fucking scudded. scudded with apples this whole match. It started raining. We fucking were sliding oil the gaff. Mean fuck, but
that's pretty carny. Another question here. I think this is the last one.
Well, I think also, I tell you what I did this week, kind of when I sold. Because as well, what I used to do is sell tapes at the tape stall. And I remember, this is really bad actually, but I ended up getting a copy of somebody's Lord of the Rings, and I put another sticker saying it was like fucking WWF Raw Zone, and I sold it at the show.
I knew it.
They had like the Lord of the Rings instead of the fucking tape.
They went, oh, well, I'm looking for this WWF, and there's Frodo Baggins.
Exactly. That's what I done, because I thought, I'll never see these folk again.
Right, last question. When did you first start having problems with your hoop? Did you have problems in the early days with your hoop?
I can remember the exact night that I had the fucking goat IBS. I can remember it.
Right.
2010, working on a night shift in the fire brigade, and I got a special chow mein from a Chinese takeaway in Johnston, and it had chicken, prawns, beef, and this other bit of meat, which
tastes like the pork, just like the kind of pork stuff, is it not?
Mate, I don't know if this was pork. I have no idea what this was. This was dodgy. It tasted, I was starving, I tanned it anyway. And we lie down now and again in the control room through the night when we split up breaks and stuff like that. And I remember just waking up in the morning and I shat, and then I went home, and then I shat, and then I shat, and then I shat, and then I shat. The next day, I shat, I shat, I shat. The next day, I shat, I shat, I shat. Next day, I shat, I shat, I shat. Found out where Imodium was, put an end to it. And since then, I've always had problems. It's never been cured. I mean, I want to tell this. Have I told you the story about going for a colonoscopy?
We'll save that little nugget for the main part.
Nugget's a good word for it, mate.
I think that's a good. I think we always have to go out on a hoop story when it comes to that's a good way to go. So there you go. Part one of It's Yourself, the Grado story. On the next one, like we say, we're going to go through ICW up into getting that call from TNA. But Grado, thanks very much for sharing, mate. That was great. Really, really interesting.
Thanks very much. I'm looking forward to doing the next one with you, John.
Will you leave us on your catchphrase, just because nobody ever...
The catchphrase. I forgot about that as well.
Yeah, how the fuck did you... Was that just something that you picked up from a relative?
My big brother's pals in the boozer for a time, they would go, it's yourself, how you doing? And it would date to everybody. And I think the first time I done it was in that Jackie Polo promo when I turned around, it's yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So when the ICW fans were chanting my name, they were also chanting, it's yourself.
Because the like a prayer stuff comes from that Jackie Paul video as well.
I can talk about the next one in terms of how I debuted in ICW, because I'll talk about the catchphrase and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Well, there you go. It's yourself. Thank you very much, Grado, and we'll see you on chapter two very soon. Audio Frontier.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.